everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. If you hear sort of a muted roar in the background, that's the wind. We're having winter here. We are going to be down close to 0 degrees. We're on Fahrenheit, of course. Tonight, we've had 2 dustings of snow and 1 measurable snowfall. So it's just Wisconsin, and it's here a little bit early, though. Well, I had several things I was going to talk about today, but I'm going to end up, I think, just talking about one thing. I'm kind of busy, and I think we're just going to hit one issue today. This particular issue has been kind of on my mind. I've been meaning to do something about it, so I thought, well, I can at least make a few remarks on it on the Heart of the Matter. Now, a few months back, we did a special program on a so-called Christian rock festival, one said to be the largest in the world. It's held in South Dakota. And we've done other Heart of the Matter reports and perhaps written reports. I don't know. We've got so many things on our website. There may be some written reports. I think there are. On such multi-day rock festivals, which are supposedly, of course, Christian, and they're anything but. And there's a great many of them. Now, members of our church, me and other members of our church, have spent many hours even in front of several different rock festivals, again, so-called Christian ones, in 3 different states, the first time quite a few years ago. And what we've seen has been very, very disturbing, and it doesn't bode well for the future. In truth, we've seen a generation of so-called evangelical young people who, when confronted with a concerned, sincere, scriptural witness for Christ and the true gospel, and against the satanic nature of these rock festivals, they really are. They really do have there's just, when you're in front of these things, you can't help but come to that conclusion that there's just a satanic nature to these things. We know that Satan certainly uses them for good effect. I would say good effect with regard to his agenda. But the young people, when we've been there, have often responded with contempt and mocking and sometimes anger, and in a few cases, even cursing, and even there have been some threats. Now, at the time we aired that last special on a rock festival, specifically it was called Life Light, when we aired that, I believe I spoke briefly on that special of one of the rock bands which performed at that particular rock festival. The name of that band, so-called Christian, of course, is Family Force 5. The performances I have seen, and I've seen a few of them, watched some of their videos as we were doing research for that program. The performances, the music of this so-called Christian band is simply put nothing short of vile and ungodly. But to get to the point that I want to get to, during our research for that program, I viewed a couple of Family Force music videos, including one called Zombie, which features flesh-eating zombies covered and smeared with blood, including around their mouths, and walking with what I now know is called the zombie walk. It's a weird shuffling along, arms kind of hanging a strange way, and a lot of times tipped to one side. The zombies in the Family Force 5's video were doing, or are doing, what zombies are said to do. In the video, they're eating flesh. They're attacking people, including a police officer. A large number of zombies overwhelm him. One of the zombies has an axe, and if I remember right, another has a knife. I'm not sure about that, because, and there may have been other weapons involved. I'm sure about the axe. I'm pretty sure I remember a knife. I mean, I just don't have the stomach to watch that video again to find out. I watched it the first time some months back simply to pick out an audio segment to play on our documentary on Lifelight. Even then, I didn't watch the entire thing. I saw enough. Now, up until I saw that video I just described, I was totally ignorant of the whole zombie craze. There's a zombie craze. I was just ignorant of this, let alone that it would be a situation where evangelicals, new evangelicals, are deeply involved with it. I was totally ignorant. I was shocked to see the video. This zombie craze and culture is worldwide, and it's really picked up steam since around, from what I can see, especially around the year 2000, sometime maybe before that. According to the films, the zombie films that I've seen a list of, many, many films, and they've come out especially after 2000. I mean, they've really started to multiply. And the reason I'm talking about this today is because there are, put quotes around it maybe in some cases, but there are evangelicals, especially the young, and that's why I say in some cases. Maybe some of these young people, I don't know, maybe they truly are Christian and are being pulled along into this. I would say, how long could someone be a part of this if they were truly a Christian? I mean, even very young Christian, how long? And no doubt there's many, many false converts involved in this who would be regarded as evangelical because of what they say they believe and so on and so forth. But there are a great many evangelicals or new evangelicals, especially the young, who are caught up in the zombie madness. But, of course, as I have been reading in several articles, as I did a little research here, not a great deal, but enough, several articles written in Christian magazines and at least one blog I read, I think a couple by Christian ministers. Well, we're all supposed to see this zombie craze. It's not a bad thing. No, it's not bad. It's a great opportunity. That's what we're told. We shouldn't stay away from it. We shouldn't separate ourselves from it. No, we should go to these movies, for instance, these films and so forth, and take advantage of it. You know, see them and then use this zombie genre or whatever you want to call it, the films, the music, as a witnessing tool. Well, I'll return to that unscriptural, ungodly, may I call it stupidity, shortly. But first, just a very, very brief review of this zombie movement or craze or culture. Perhaps we could just call it this darkness, this demonic darkness and madness. The zombie legend has its origins in necromancy and black magic. For instance, according to Haitian folklore, a zombie is a human corpse raised from the dead by magic, by a witch, and with then an insatiable urge to consume human flesh. I saw a dictionary which gave the origin of the word zombie as West African, and we know there's a lot of voodoo in that region as well. I'm not saying that the zombie phenomenon, the zombie creature came out directly out of voodoo, but obviously it's somewhat connected. And anyway, this dictionary compared the origin of this word zombie to the Congo words Nzambi, which means God, and Zumbi, or Zumbai, which means fetish. Now, the zombies depicted in movies and apocalyptic zombie movies included, also in music videos, and zombie walks and zombie children's toys. Yes, children's toys. As I said, they're all shuffling along when they're not attacking and killing and eating human beings. But what they are is these shuffling, resurrected, apparently walking dead, who roam about with an insatiable urge to kill and eat living humans. Now, since around 2000, as I said, there's just been an explosion of zombie films, including zombie apocalypse movies. This is demonic. This is obviously just all darkness, isn't it? All of this fascination with these walking dead, all of this darkness, cannibalism, and so forth, it's something Christians should decry, should rebuke, should speak against, warn against, and so forth. Have nothing to do with it. Now, there are zombie walks, and again, I've just begun to learn about this. There are these zombie walks that are taking place all around the world in thousands of cities. I'm saying from Moscow to London to Santiago, Chile to Omaha, Nebraska, for instance. Zombie walks. And some, perhaps most, have children in these, children dressed up like zombies. Now, in a zombie walk, there's different reasons why they have them, but the participants vie with each other to look as horrible and hideous and gory as possible, in brief, to look as much as possible like walking dead who have been actively killing and eating human beings. And so they try to look pale with bulging eyes, with fake blood around their mouths, of course, stained on their teeth, smeared on their faces and the rest of their body and clothing. And then they shuffle along from point A to point B, doing whatever else they do at these walks. I haven't viewed any videos of any of these things. I've seen a few still shots of them in various cities around the world. Now, I mentioned zombie toys for children. For children. It's only recently I knew such things even existed. First, I saw this zombie video. I mean, I've heard of zombies. I suppose I would have known that, you know, way back they made some horror films with zombies in them, and that was about it. Then I find out so-called Christian bands are making music videos with zombies in them, and Family Force 5 is not the only one into this. And then I find out that this is a huge worldwide craze, just a craze, and I find out about zombie walks. Well, the next thing I found out about is that there are zombie toys for children. I just learned about this. If I sound like I'm dumbfounded, I am. A couple of months ago, my wife was looking at toys for grandchildren. We have grandchildren here quite often, and, you know, so she wanted to see if she could find some more toys, and she ran across a zombie farm set for children at Shopko. Now, Shopko is not the only place that sells these toys, and there are plenty of them, but let me just read you some of the description of this toy at Shopko. It's a farm set. There's a barn and some other buildings. But let me just read this part. The shambling undead march ceaselessly about the zombies' transit farm. The buildable farm is a huge structure that is set as the focus for the four highly detailed zombies who are out to find their next victim. Now, isn't that nice? That's really good, you know, for training up a child, a toy like that. I looked at this ad then when my wife showed me, and I enlarged, you know, the pictures of the characters. And you see these characters with blood coming, running down from their neck, out of their eyes, their nose, their forehead, blood on their bodies all over, bulging eyeballs. And there they are, and they're looking for their next victim to kill and to consume. So we have here something that is extremely, extremely dark, vile, gory, demonic, isn't it? We're talking about even cannibalism. Now, what sort of children are going to be raised by playing with such toys? And what sort of beastly parents, and I use that phrase with no apologies, what sort of beastly parents would buy such toys for their little children? But, of course, the parents themselves are probably involved in this. And from the looks of it, these toys are big sellers. But just to go back to the involvement, just briefly, of young evangelicals with this zombie craze. I told you about the Family Force 5 zombie video. You can find that on the Internet. The title is just that, Zombie. The band is Family Force 5. I'm not trying to promote this thing, but if some of you, I trust you. I don't think you're going to get into this. I wouldn't, you know, encourage young people even look at it. But some of you, if you feel like, okay, I don't believe him, I don't really believe this could be possible, well, there it is. Now, I noticed by a little more research, there are other so-called Christian bands which also use this zombie approach in their videos and that are into this. And it turns out that there are evangelical young people who are also involved or watching or really, as they say, into zombie films. The many zombie films which have been cranked out in recent times, including the popular zombie apocalyptic films. Now, on a personal note, as we began to do a little research on this zombie thing, as I started looking up some things, I was pretty shocked to come across a film produced by someone I know, by a young new evangelical to which our family would be related. And the film, a zombie apocalypse type apocalyptic film, was filled with, it's just a short film, but it's filled with gratuitous violence and gore, with the hero killing a zombie boy, a child, but a zombie, as well as killing, believe it or not, his own mother, who had turned into a zombie, and also killing his own sister. if I remember right, the mother he shoots. I know he shoots her. I believe he tells her he loves her. He apologizes for some things, some of his own actions, and says he loves her, I think. I'm sure he says he loves her. And he shoots her. The sister he kills, and this is terrible, and I should have warned you not to have your children even listening to this, but hopefully you have enough discernment that they're not. But he kills his own sister with a knife stab into the face as she's attacking him. The hero's father is shown dead already, apparently killed by the mother or the sister. And in the film, the father is actually the father of the producer. As I say, the producer would be related to our family. Obviously, so would his father and mother. Well, his mother was involved in the production of the film. The sister, or the producer's sister, is actually in the film. And then again, as I say, the producer is related to our family. Obviously, his father, his mother, and his sister are too. And yet this family attends an evangelical, that is a new evangelical church, yes. Now, I'm well aware of the looseness, the compromise, and the corruption of new evangelical churches, but I was shocked to see that now this is also fine. This is accepted. This zombie stuff, this zombianism, is that what we would call it? It's even gloried in by a good number of new evangelicals. Where are the pastors? Maybe they're at the zombie movies. I don't know. But why should we be shocked? Once let loose of the Word of God as the supreme authority in all matters of faith and practice, obedience and life, once bring worldly compromise into a church, and of course things go from bad to worse. And in the end, apostasy. But just to get back to what I mentioned earlier, predictably there are evangelical commentators, ministers, and so forth, who apparently they see no problem with Christians watching zombie films, being involved in this whole zombie culture. For instance, I read one article in which the writer just prattled on about how zombie movies can provoke us to think about life and think about death and think about the nature of man and just teach us so much about ourselves and other such, of course, justifying nonsense. It's the same old, let's put it that way. You hear me say that, I suppose, quite a bit, but it's the same old, including with regard to this. I've read comments of evangelicals who insist we ought to embrace the whole zombie scene, including the films, as, well, an opportunity to take those things and make an application of them to the gospel. And I'm not kidding you here. And you know, what we ought to do, if we're going to somehow look at these things and say, here's an opportunity, a gospel opportunity, well, the opportunity is to be outside, reproving these unfruitful works of darkness, warning, handing out tracts, gospel tracts, and preaching Christ, and doing one-on-one witness, and holding scripture signs in front of the theaters playing such films. Preaching repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. But no, this is another wonderful opportunity. Well, the scriptures say otherwise. But here's one of the, here's an article I read. This was in, the man who wrote is Mark T. Newman, Agape Press. We're not promoting Agape Press by any means. But here's the title, What Should Christians Have to Say About Zombie Movies? Now listen to this. I'll just read a little bit, just the opening couple of paragraphs. The first question that might arise from simply looking at the title of this article might be, why would Christians even watch zombie movies, much less want to have anything to say about them? In response, I need to emphasize that movie ministry's role is not that of a film critic, but of the cultural critic. We do not recommend or promote films. We explain them so Christians can see inside the driving cultural forces underlying the stories movies are telling us to see, if we can use them to explore the gospel. Like I said, this is the same old, same old. If it was just a bunch of vain words, it would be one thing. Because it's nonsense, you know. At best, it's nonsense. But these people are serious. They are very serious, and they are part of the problem. But let's go on. And believe it or not, horror films are ripe with myths and analogies that can be used to our advantage. In other words, bringing people to Christ by using these things for evangelical tools, so to speak, I guess. Let me read some more. And that is what drove me to the cinema at midnight on a recent Thursday to view the latest installment of, and he mentions a zombie movie. And he says how it's guaranteed to turn a profit because millions of young people want to see this sort of thing. They love it. It says millions of young people in the film's target demographic will turn out for the mayhem. Isn't that wonderful? He's saying that we should watch these films. He went and watched one, and he says that Christians ought to watch these things. And then we can see if we can use them to explore the gospel with, of course, the unsaved. And he goes on with other such nonsense of how horror movies, including zombie films, are then, you know, tools. We can begin to take these things, and I guess we look at them, and then we say, you know what that reminds me of? You know what that's like this, and that's like that. And so it's just fine for Christians to watch these films. And then we talk about the myths and analogies in them and use those for our advantage with regard to somehow then, I guess, working our way into some sort of a gospel message. But what saith the Word of God? As if that makes any difference with the Mark Newmans of this world and a growing number of new evangelicals. But what saith the Word of God? Well, first of all, zombie films and the whole culture are rooted and grounded in darkness, even satanic darkness. And Ephesians 5, the verse 11, commands the Lord's people and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And of course, there are many, many other such scripture passages which forbid Christians from having anything to do with such a dark, devilish thing as this zombie culture and craze. Ephesians 5, the verse 8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And so we're to get away from these works of darkness. We're to have nothing to do with them other than to reprove them. Ephesians 4, the verse 23 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Well, I can tell you, this is no way to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I say going to these sort of movies, being involved in these sort of things in any way, shape, or form. We should not have to tell a Christian, though, that they should have nothing to do with something so dark, vile, devilish, macabre, gory, as zombie films and the zombie craze as a whole. No Christian should have anything to do with such darkness, or in any way endorse it, or in any way encourage anyone to have anything to do with it. The conscience of the Christian, the purified and renewed conscience of the Christian, the regenerated man or woman with spiritual discernment and indwelling spirit of truth, loudly testifies against going anywhere near such works of darkness as represented by the zombie culture. And that's maybe just the thing. So many evangelicals are, in truth, false converts. They are not new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I just don't know how this sort of thing we're talking about would have anything to do with a new creature, or he would have anything to do with it. Now, secondly, zombie movies are certainly not fit instruments for a gospel witness of any kind, any way, any shape. That's not how the scriptures tell us to witness for Christ and to share truth with unbelievers. Such methods and instruments dishonor the Lord and have nothing to do with trusting in the sovereign, omnipotent, effectual power of the Holy Spirit in the conversion and regeneration of sinners. Such methods and instruments put faith in the wisdom, so-called, of man, and they are an offense to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2, the verse 4, we won't do a bunch of preaching here today, but you do remember that Paul said, "And my speech and my preaching," when he came to Corinth, "was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And he also said, why did he preach Christ and him crucified? And stay away from any enticing words of man's wisdom. Well, he says further on that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, that they'd have a true faith as opposed to a false faith, a false conversion. Of course, the preaching of the cross, just preaching Christ, just preaching what the Bible says, just trusting in the Word and in the Spirit. We're told in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. We know it's the power of God. We know it's the way of salvation for sinners. We know that what these people are talking about, using all these things to speak into the culture, or using all these dark things, all these worldly things, and even things as dark as this zombie movement to somehow, I guess, lure people to Christ. We know. We know that that is ungodly. We know that that is foolishness. But of course, they see us as foolish, don't they? Paul could testify to the Thessalonians and to the whole world, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. There was no guile. There was no hiding things. There was no deceit. There was no trying to use worldly things, let alone devilish things, to win others to Christ, as if that would be possible then. No, not at all. They were right out in the open. They were a city set on a hill, part of that city set on a hill. They were a light to the world. The church is to be a city set on a hill. In other words, there's to be a clear distinction between us and the world. And when you're going to these sort of zombie movies and involved in this sort of zombie culture and doing the things that that represents, that is not being a city set on a hill. The world needs to see a clear line of demarcation between these things that are dark and demonic even, and the things of God, which are all light and which are righteousness. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, Paul says, as to the ministry of the apostles and all true ministers of the Lord, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And if you will permit me, I'll just read from 2 Corinthians here, chapter 10 comes to mind. The apostle says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So when he speaks of flesh the first time, he talks of us being in these mortal bodies. But then he says we don't war after the flesh. In other words, in a carnal way. And he goes on, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Carnal weapons are useless in our spiritual warfare, including as we battle against the spiritual darkness of this world and the spiritual forces of darkness with the light of the gospel of Christ, as we seek to see souls saved and the world around us savored with the Word of God. But I need to draw this to a close. We could go to many other places in the Scriptures, but I just wanted to just talk a little bit about this zombie thing, because I guess it's a sign of the way things are right now. But as I said, I wasn't aware of it. I didn't know if you would be aware of it, but it certainly is, again, I would think, another provocation for us to want to stand up and preach the truth and come against this sort of thing and stand against it and rebuke these things. Now, Lord willing, this, actually, by the time you hear this, I guess, I was going to ask for prayer, but it'll be all over by the time you hear this. We're going to be headed out this Friday to share the gospel at a very large gathering of predominantly young people. And we're going to be on the outside, of course, of the facility, sharing the gospel with those arriving to attend the event. So I was going to ask you to pray for us, but by the time you hear this, it will have been over. But we're praying. We're praying that the Lord would bring a harvest of souls out of our gospel sowing, and that the Spirit of the Lord would be pleased to savor many with the Word of God that are there. And I've been so encouraged to read reports of other brethren out and other countries and passing out scriptures, I say Bibles, passing out scripture tracts and gospel tracts and holding signs and preaching and sharing one-on-one. There are those out there, and we should remember them in prayer. I'm talking about people who are not compromised. I'm talking about faithful Christians, and I hope you're remembering such a witness in prayer. And I hope you're also praying, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? But as I said, we need to draw to a close. Thanks for listening.